But if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to read Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. Romans 12, starting in verse 17, says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, this opportunity to come and hear from you, God. And may we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as we hear how we are to live and honor you and trust you. I'm going to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth. And I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray and his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, we're going to talk about the life of Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph and his brothers, and so you could look in just different people throughout Joseph's life. So the characters are Joseph and his brothers. And the title of the message, with two words, is Release or Revenge. Release or Revenge. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 says, "Do not say, 'I will repay evil.' Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you." Peter asked Jesus one time, he said, "How often should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times? And this was going beyond. I mean, Peter was thinking that he was being generous. And Jesus said, "Try 7 times 7. If your brother asked for forgiveness, forgive him." And so we're going to look today at releasing hurt, pain, disappointments in life, okay? There's two paths you're going to be able to take today. You're either going to seek revenge and try to get even and allow anger and disappointment and bitterness and heartache and all of the stuff in life take you down a path that's going to destroy you and not give you a hope in a future, or you can release it today and you can allow forgiveness to bring healing and give you hope and a future. Okay? Sound good? All right, so we're going to be in Genesis, and I'll give you just going to kind of paint the story at first until we get to some verses in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 37, we are introduced to Joseph. Now, Abraham, we talked about him last week. Abraham was chosen by God and that he was going to be a great name and a great nation. Abraham has Isaac. Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob has 12 sons. Jacob is tricked into marrying Leah. He wanted to marry Rachel, and he got tricked into marrying Leah. And so then he has Rachel as his wife after he marries Leah, and has a son by the name of Joseph. This is his favorite son. This is the son from his firstborn son from Rachel, the one that he loved. He also had one other son from Rachel. His name is Benjamin. And so because Joseph was the firstborn son of Rachel, he was highly favored. And we're first introduced to Joseph at age 17, and it says that his father had made him a multicolored coat. We've heard of Joseph and the multicolored coat, and there's debate on, is it a multicolored coat or a long sleeve coat? Because a prince would wear a long sleeve coat. Even a multicolored coat would be a sign of status. That wouldn't be a working man's robe. It would be an administrator's robe, someone who's overseeing. So here's what I think. It's a multicolored long sleeve robe. Okay, there we go. We got both of them out with one. And so the point being, he is the favored son. And he's going around, he's walking around, he's kind of put him over in charge of his brothers. And anytime as a parent you highly favor another sibling over another, you're setting up for disaster. Agree? You should never lift one child over the other. You should love them all. You should love them all equally. They all are, not all your kids are the same, right? They all have their own things, but you love them in their own unique way. And so he sets Joseph up for this to be picked on, and his brothers resent him. He has a dream. He has a dream that the sheaves bow down before him, meaning that one day his brothers are going to bow down to him. Now, you think about that. You got a brother come to you. I have this dream that one day you're going to be bowing down to me. Now, is that going to go over well? No. He also has another dream of the stars and the sun and the moon are also going to bow down to him. He tells it to him again. I had another dream. And they're like, now, okay, not only is the earthly things going to bow down to you, but all heaven is going to be bowing down to you. Who's this kid think he is? You know, this is sibling rivalry. They don't like the guy. Even Jacob is like, now say what? Me and your mom are going to bow down to you too. But the Bible says he did take that statement to heart, but his brothers hated him for his dreams and his words. So one day Jacob says, I need you to go check on my brothers, on my sons. Go check on your brothers. So he sends him out. And as he's approaching them, they see him in a distance. And they say, here comes that dreamer. Here comes that favored son. Here comes the one in the multicolored robe, the one that dad likes the best. And they say, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. And they plot to kill their own brother. And they say, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. They've resented him so much that they were willing to kill their own brother. Well, Reuben steps in and says, well, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit here. We'll just throw him in this pit and we'll just let him be and we'll do that. And they say, okay, well, let's do that. After they throw him in the pit, there's a caravan of Ishmaelites that come by. And so Reuben, being the oldest, goes and probably checks on their sheep to make sure that no one's going to come and take their sheep. And so he's watching and guarding. Well, as he is watching and guarding, Judah, another brother, says, you know what? We ought to at least get some money out of this guy. Let's just don't leave him here. Let's sell him and let's get some money. Let's sell him into slavery. And so that's what they do. They get him out of the pit, and they sell him to the Ishmaelites. And Reuben comes back. He looks down in the pit. His brother's gone. He's like, well, where's Joseph? Oh, we sold him. You know, we're at least going to get some money. He's like, oh, what? You did what? Because he was wanting to come back and rescue him secretly. He's like, oh, what am I going to do? I can't go back to my dad. He's going to kill me. He was the oldest. He was responsible. He's like, whoa. And so he was frustrated. So they concocted another plan. They said, well, let's take his coat, because they kept his coat. Let's rip it up. Let's kill an animal and put blood all over it. And we'll bring it back to dad, and we'll say, look, something bad's happened to your son. That's exactly what they did. They ripped up the coat, killed a goat, put the blood all over it, and they go back to their father, and they say, Dad, is this Joseph's coat? And it's like, it is. And it's like, man, a wild animal must have attacked him. My son is dead. And he begins to weep and mourn over the loss of his son. Meanwhile, Joseph got sold again to an Egyptian officer named Potiphar, who was a general in Pharaoh's army. And so now Joseph ends up as a slave. Now let's just pause right here for a moment and let's ask some questions. Does Joseph have a right to be angry? Huh? Does he have a right to be bitter? Does he have a right to want to seek revenge? I mean, that's what we'd want to do, right? How many of you all, if somebody gets you get them back? Anybody? All right, the rest of you are lying. You act like, well, I'm in church. I ain't supposed to admit that. Our human nature is, you get me, I get you, right? You talk about me, I talk about you, right? You blast me on social media, I blast you on social media, right? It's a get even, right? Get even. He has a right to be angry, bitter. Does he have a right to be hurt? Upset? List could go on and on. Disappointed? Okay. Joseph got done wrong. We all agree. Just bragging about a dream he had doesn't deserve that he gets sold into slavery. True? There are bad things that happen to us in life. Agree? There are things that happen to you you didn't sign up for. You didn't ask for the abuse. You didn't ask for the walkout. You didn't ask for them to be abandoned. You didn't ask to be lied about. There are all types of situations and circumstances that happen to us, that people disappoint us, that hurts come. And if we handle it in path B, if our goal is to seek revenge and to get even and to get back, then we're going to be an angry, bitter, hurtful, spiteful, upset. We're going to be a miserable person the rest of our life. If you live with the hurt and you're always looking to who done you wrong and what they did to you, we have adults, because of something that happened in their childhood, they can never have a bright future because they're always looking to that hurt way back then. And yes, the hurt might have been real, and it might have been a horrible thing that could have happened to you. But if you keep living there, you'll never move forward to where God wants you to be. So you can either seek revenge all through your life and be miserable, depressed, have high blood pressure, and be overly medicated, or you can release it. You can release it. And how are you going to release it? In Genesis chapter 39, verse 2, we have this. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man and was in the house of his Egyptian master. I want to focus on that first line there, and if you have your Bible out, I would underline this, and I would mark this, or if you have your notebook out, I would mark this as a notebook, because this is how you live in release rather than revenge, is you have to remember that the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph said, the Lord's not forgotten about me. The Lord hasn't done anything wrong to me. The Lord is with me. You've got to come to this realization. If you're a child of God, is God with you? Let me ask you that one more time. If you're a child of God, is God with you? God is with you. It reminds me of Romans chapter 8, verse 28. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we have this. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Now let's just stop right here for a moment. And we know that for those who love God, first off, you got to ask, am I a lover of God? Do I love God? Am I his child? Do I love God? Because if I love God, then the Bible tells me that all things work together for good. Now, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say that all things are good. Because there are some things in life that are not good. There are some things that we go through. There are some hurts that we experience. There are some pains that we go through. There is all of the disappointments in life that happen to us. But he says he can use that for good. Was it good that Joseph got put in a pit, that his brothers wanted to kill him? Was it good for him to go to Egypt? It wasn't a good experience for him to go through, but God was going to use that. We keep on reading. It says this. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right there is how you have to live in release is to believe that God is with me. God is with me. You got to say that. God is with me. If God is for me, then who can be against me? It doesn't matter what happens. So if I want to live in release instead of revenge, I've got to realize who has me in his hand, that I am God's child. If I focus my entire life on what they did to me, what that person said about me, what she did, what he did, if I live my whole life focused on them and not him, I'm going to live a miserable life. You have to focus on him. You're God's child. What you're going through, it's painful. It can be hurtful. It can be disappointing. But you've got to realize, I'm God's child. He has me, and I'm going to be okay. That's where my power lies. And so here's what happens. Joseph, he lives in release and not revenge. And he allows God to use him everywhere he goes. And he honors God. And God raises him up. He becomes second in command of Potiphar's house. He's over charge of everything. Even when Potiphar leaves, he's trusted with everything that he has. Now, he's a young man. We're told he's 17 when he got sold to slavery. So he's, who knows how old he is at this time? Maybe 18, 19, 20 years old, you know. Bible says that Joseph was a handsome man in form and build. So he had abs of steel, I'm sure. And he was just, you know, the nice-looking guy. And Potiphar's wife took an eye to liking him. And she would try to entice him every day. Hey, Joseph. And she'd come on to him every day. And Joseph would say no, no. He would resist. He'd say no. And he tells her, he says, How can I be with you? Your master has put me in charge of everything. He trusts me completely with everything in his home. How can I do that? And he goes a step further than that, and he says in the last part of verse 9 in Genesis 39, he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I'm one of God's kids. I don't live like that. I don't do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm trusting in God. So one day she catches him. There's no guards. There's nobody there. And she comes onto him strong and grabs his coat and says, come to bed with me. And he does what the Bible tells us, to flee from sexual immorality. It's the one sin that the Bible says to flee from, to run, to get out of dodge. And that's what he does. He gets out of there, and he gets out of there. He just runs, but he leaves his garment behind, his coat. Well, this embarrasses the lady, and she's all mad about it. And so when Potiphar comes back, she goes, you're not going to believe what this slave did to me. He tried to get me to sleep with him, and I said no. And look, I got his coat for proof. And so she lies. And he's outraged, and he's angry. And he puts him into prison. So there Joseph is now in prison. He's saying, I'm innocent. And everybody's like, yeah, we all are innocent. And Joe's like, no, for real. He really was innocent. He had done nothing wrong, and he finds himself in prison. Now, let's pause right now for a moment. Does he have a right to be angry? Could he be bitter? Could he say, God, I don't understand. I mean, I'm living for you and all this. I've resisted. I didn't give in to temptation. And look, I'm sitting here in a prison cell. This ain't right. He could have, couldn't he? He can, and you can go that route. If that's how you want to live your life, you can live your life in revenge. And Joseph could have spent his time in prison thinking, I'm going to get that lady. I'm going to add her to my list. I got 11 brothers I'm going to take care of when I get out of here. And I'm going to take care of her. And he could just start listing it out, couldn't he? But he didn't. He released it. In Genesis 39, verse 20, it says this, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison." Now look at verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph." You see that? You got to underline that part. You see that again? "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." The Lord was with Joseph right there in prison. You got to remember, if God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? Is God with you? You got to ask yourself, am I God's child? Do I love God? If God's with me, if I'm a child of God, God is with me no matter what I'm walking through. And the Lord was with him. And he rose to leadership even in the prison guard. There was two guys that got thrown in prison with him. One was the cupbearer of the Pharaoh and one was the baker. And they had a dream one night, and they both had a dream, and they needed someone to interpret it. And Joseph said, "God's the interpreter of dreams. I can tell you what that means." For the baker, the news wasn't so good. Said, "You're going to get out in 3 days? Pharaoh's going to kill you." But for the cupbearer, he said, "You're going to get out in 3 days, and you're going to be restored to your position." He said, "Now, when you get out, would you do me one favor? Would you remember me and tell the Pharaoh what I did?" "Oh, yeah, sure, Joseph. Yeah, no problem. 3 days later, cupbearer got out. Genesis 40, verse 23. "Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Can't catch a break. It's one problem after another. Here we go again. I mean, I help somebody out, and what happens? I get the short end of the stick. Anybody, you live your life always thinking, I get the short end of the stick. No, I'm always on the bottom. You got two options. You can stay in that page, and you can keep talking about gloom, despair, agony on a woe. And you can just sit there and invite and have a big pity party and get other people who are depressed and angry and bitter, and you all can have your own little bitter small group and be like, "I can't believe so-and-so did." "Yeah, but I'll tell you what happened to me. This is what happened to me. I tell you what. Well, we ought to just, and y'all just, and the whole time you're talking, you're just, you know, you're scrowling and just, it's just constant, just all upset. You go to your doctor and they're like, "You have any stress going on in your life?" "Yeah, I got stress." And you're all bitter and angry, upset. Joseph could have done that. He could have added the cupbearer to the list. That's another person that's done me wrong. Some of you may have lists like that. Well, someone else has done me wrong. This person's done me wrong. And you have and you're wanting to get revenge. And you're just waiting for the day that you can just put it back on them. Well, 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. And he can't figure out the interpretation. He calls all of his magicians in, and nobody can give him the interpretation. And then the cupbearer is sitting there going, "You know, I remember what I was supposed to tell you. There was a guy that I had a dream, and he told me the dream. His name is Joseph. He's in the prison. And he can tell you the interpretation of it." And so Pharaoh calls for him. And he stands before Pharaoh. And he declares that God is the giver of dreams. And he's the one that can reveal it to the Pharaoh. And he tells Pharaoh, "Here's what your dream means. You're going to have 7 years of prosperity. And things are going to go well. And it's going to be great. But that's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And there's going to be a huge famine in the land. It's going to be great and severe. And so what you need to do is you need to be wise and make sure in those 7 years of plenty that you're storing up things and you're making ready and prepared for the 7 years of famine." And the Pharaoh's like, "Man, we need someone wise who can oversee all this. I wonder who that could be." And he's like, since you're the one that told me the dream, it seems like you've got the perfect plan. And he puts Joseph in second command over all of Egypt. You see the difference between living in revenge and living in release? I'm not saying you're going to be second command of Egypt, but I'm saying that you can live a life that God uses for his glory, and that those around you and the places that you work at gets better because you're there. Everywhere Joseph went, he made other people better because he was there. Why? Because God was with him. Is God with you, child of God? Is he with you? So everybody, the place you work at, should be better because you're there, because you're one of God's children. And so the Pharaoh gives him a wife. He has a wife and he has two sons. The first son he names Manasseh, which means God has made me forget all my hardship for my father's house. So he has a son and he says, man, God has helped me to forget all that, not to hold it, not to be living and being angry and upset. Then he has a second son. Go to verse 52. He named the second son Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. See that? Even when I was living in disappointments and sufferings, I didn't live there. I didn't live in revenge. I lived in release. And God made me fruitful in spite of all the things that happened to me. Seven years of plenty come. Then the 7 years of famine hit. And the famine is so severe that even the surrounding countries are feeling the effect of it. And Jacob tells his sons, I hear there's seed in Egypt. You need to go to Egypt and get us some seed so that we can live and not die. And so he sends 10 of the brothers to go and ask for some seed. Guess who the brothers have to go ask seed from? Joseph. Now, Joseph has already forgiven the brothers. He's already released that. He's not living in anger, bitter, whatever. The Bible tells us we need to be quick to forgive. But we are also, there's slow to trust as well. And he kind of tests his brothers a couple of times to make sure where their heart is. You know, I can forgive of anything, but my trust may take a while to restore, right? And so he tests them a couple times, but not only were they being tested, guess who else was being tested? Joseph was being tested by God, because here's where it's at. Think about it. What would you do? What happens? What type of Christian are you going to be when you have the power to take revenge, but instead you live in release? Joseph could have had them killed. He was second in command. He had the opportunity. When his brothers came to him, he could have said, you know what? It's been years since I've been waiting to see you guys and what you did to me. I can't stand you. I've been waiting for the day to get even with you. And when he saw them, he could have said, put them in prison. They're spies. He could have done that. And he could have left them there. He does hold them back for a while. And he sends them away. Says, go get your brother. And eventually, I don't have time to go into all the detail. I'll go home and read the story, because it is a magnificent story of redemption. But he's asked about their father. See, Joseph knows who they are, but they don't know who Joseph is. He's using an interpreter. So they think they're speaking to an Egyptian. But every time that his brothers are speaking, he also speaks Hebrew, so he hears everything they're saying. He sends them away. They come back. He asks, is your father still alive? He says, yeah, our father's still living. He has his brothers. He sets them at the table. He sets them in order of their birth. And they all start looking around like, how does this guy know our birth order? And he has a moment where they are eating together. And then he reveals himself to his brothers. And he says, it's me, Joseph. And they're like, what? Joseph, it's me, your brother Joseph, the one that you tried to kill, the one that you sold into slavery. It's me. And they embrace and they cry. And it says that there is so much loud weeping that the other Egyptians and the other rooms are hearing what's going on. He's like, is my dad alive? And they're like, yeah, your dad's alive. He goes, go get him. Go get him and bring him back here. We've got plenty of food. You're going to get the best land. You're going to live with me. You see, God sent me ahead of you for this very purpose. So they go back and they get Jacob, who is Israel. And Israel hears the words that his son is alive. And so he makes the trip back to Egypt and he sees his son and they embrace. And it's a glorious reunion. He's like, man, I can die in peace now. I know you're alive. And he gets to see his dad that he hadn't seen in years. All because of something that happened to him that was unfair. But instead of being bitter and angry, he released it. And he was able to embrace his brothers. He's able to embrace his dad once again. And he had his family back. Now when Jacob dies, the brothers get worried again. And they think, well, now that dad's gone, now maybe he'll come and get us. Maybe he's just being nice to us because dad was alive. And they come to him and they say, now, Joseph, before dad died, he said, to not be mad at us, to forgive us. And Joseph says, as for you, back there in that day when I was 17 years old, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. You see, we are to live in release, not revenge. You may have been done wrong. You may have been hurt. You may have been abused. You may have been neglected. You may have been abandoned. All of that is true. But what you do with that is going to determine the rest of your life. Will you live in resentment, bitterness, anger, hostility? Will you let the need to just to get back and to get even and to get revenge ruin the rest of your life? Or can you release it and hand it down and say, God, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. And if you're with me, there's nothing that can come against me. If you're with me, I can overcome this. If you're with me, no matter if I'm in this pit, I can get out. If you're with me, that's all that matters. I'm not going to look to them. I'm going to look to him for all that I need. I know you're with me, Lord. And that's why the Bible tells us to be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving each other. For as God in Christ forgave you. You see, why do we live in release and forgive people? It's because we've been forgiven by God. We're all guilty before God. But the Bible says that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The power of release. Some of you need a release today. Some of you are holding on to hurt, pain, and it will destroy your life and you'll have no future. Release it today. Walk in the power of forgiveness, walk in the power of release, and trust that God is with you in all circumstances. Amen? And if you've never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, guess what? He wants to forgive you today. He wants to heal you today. He wants to give you hope and a future that only He can bring. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we all have things in our past that are not good. We have hurts. We have pains. We have some dark memories of people that should have loved us but didn't love us. We have people that have disappointed us, that have hurt us, that have should have been the ones to protect us but were the ones who abused us. And so I pray today, God, that you would speak release into the hearts of people this morning. Father, do not allow us to walk down the path of revenge. Father, I pray that if there's someone here right now that's holding on to a painful moment, that they don't let the bitterness and the anger and the hurt rule and guide their life. But Father, that they will find their peace in you and their hope in you and their future in you, and that they will understand that you are with them. So Lord, speak to us. Let us respond appropriately. And may we take this time of invitation to truly do business with you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come and pray. Let's come and pray. The altar's open. It's time to pray. Let's sing.